I mentioned to the lady there today, I believe, that I would be a scholar, mentioned that Brother Robert was going to come over to preach. And she said, Robert Walker. She said, oh, I love Robert Walker. I listen to him every day. And she had been listening to their program, I was in the every morning for 30 years. So that work is quite effective, and Robert's done a great job. Through integrating the word, and I'm glad to see that word continue. The Apostle Paul, noticing how he opened up many of his epistles when he began to write, he would say to the church of Corinth, he would say to the saints of Galatians, to the saints who are at the Philippi, did you know that you were saved? We are a saint because we are sanctified by the blood of Christ. I remind you that the town had two brothers in it that were known notoriously for being very evil and a bad reputation. So one of the brothers died, and then the brother came to the preacher and said, I want you to preach my brother's funeral. The preacher said, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that, but he died. He said, in that funeral, I want you to refer to my brother as a saint. The preacher said, well, I can do that. He said, if you'll call my brother a saint, I'll write the church a check for $50,000. The preacher said, I'll do it. So after the funeral, the preacher got up and he said, we all know this good man here has a very bad reputation in our town. He was immoral, he was a thief, he was bad to children. Nobody liked him. But I must say, compared to his brother, so, none of us are perfect, but we are all saints. We are all sanctified by the blood of the Lord. And it's good to be with the saints here at the Rock. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and look forward to sharing with you a few thoughts. I want to mention one thing before I get started about my writings. I also write a weekly column called Inscriptions. It was mainly designed for bulletins. It's always three paragraphs, always the same size, so it'll fit into the same space every week. And I started it with that in mind. But my mailing list has grown. I've been writing now for 10 years. And it goes out to several hundred people. It's running several bulletins, and a lot of people with their email passing on through email lists. And I've just really enjoyed writing that. Expanded that into an expanded article that now appears in the Tunica Times once a month. After a few years, I finally was able to get into the rotation that the newspaper offers, so every third week I'm able to run an article in the paper, which I enjoy doing. So I enjoy my writings, and Tunica gives me a good opportunity to write and share. Starbucks over their Wi-Fi. We are just less and less of a personal doing things actually in prisons. I talked yesterday morning about hospitality. We become a less hospitable culture. We have less and less people in our home. We just do not do that as much. 100 years ago, a farmer would know his neighbor might be a mile down the road, but he would know that neighbor's name, and he would know his children's name, and he would be familiar with that person. Today, most of us do not know the name of other people who live across the street from us. We're just less and less of a personal, hospitable, present culture. And I think that it's just important that we get back to the reality and realize how important presence is, your physical presence, and how important it is in reaching the lost. So I'll share some stories with you there. First of all, I want you to one thing, a couple of things in Scripture. The Apostle Paul, the very last of his writings, 2 Timothy 4, as he began making salutations, the very last words that he would write, talks about his prison conditions and who is there with him. I've always read this particular thing with a note of sadness. He writes and he says, "Only Luke is with me." Here, the great Apostle Paul is wasting away in a long prison, facing the death sentence, and only Luke is with me, he says, beginning verse 9 through 11. I mentioned Sarah, Demas has forsaken me, he said, having loved this present world. Only Luke, well, I appreciate Luke for his writing. He wrote two of the greatest books in the New Testament, the Gospel. Luke is a literary classic of what we do without the book of Acts. Yet I appreciate Luke for being there in that cell, his physical presence being with the Apostle Paul. God didn't send his word, but he sent it in a personal presence, in the presence of his Son. The word was with us and dwelt with us. And we beheld his glory, John said, full of grace. I'm just reading the first John. As John opens up his great general epistles, he says, 1 John 1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Jesus came and he wasn't just a figment of the imagination, but the word became flesh. God didn't send just an email. He sent his Son to actually be the presence, to actually show God with us, Emmanuel. And so the very importance. How important was it that Jesus was here in flesh and blood form? Well, it's totally important. It was prophesied, it was spoke of, it was the plan that God and his Son put into effect so many years before the world was ever created. The Sanhedrin once, the priest said, the soldiers to arrest Jesus and want Jesus in the temple. They're waiting. The soldiers came back and said, "Well, where is he? We're talking to him." So he said, "Never heard a man talk like that." Jesus was a physical presence that inspired, that touched, that changed the lives of men. Later, when the apostles were put on trial, there is Jesus. They took oath that they had been with Jesus. The physical presence of Jesus, being and walking with those apostles, made a difference, a tremendous difference in their life. What we do about the physical presence of Jesus and how he changed the world. So it's important that we learn to have presence. And our presence in society and what we do is so very, very important. I've come to see that and understand that a great deal in my work, too. It's funny, I've been out full-time preaching for several years, as I mentioned last night. And when I got back in the building, got my office set up, I've got the phone in there, been set up, and done my books up from there, and then I finally finally ready to go to work for the Lord, and I walked out into our building and walked up to every hour, and I said, what do I do now? What do I do now? You know, Lord, what have you put me into here in Georgia, Mississippi? What do I do now? I developed an idea. There was a group of men that played golf there Tuesday. And so I said, well, I don't play golf with these guys. I was invited to go play with them. This group of guys from the community, I don't play golf. That's what I do. And so my old college buddy, Steve Watson, preaches up in the Nashville area. I called him. I said, Steve, I think I've come up with my philosophy now doing both words. Preach, pray, and play. Preach, we've got to preach the word of God. Be prepared when you get the pulpit, no preacher is right to be unprepared for any pulpit. Then you got to pray, you got to have a spiritual life. It's important to have that prayer life. The preachers need prayer lives. And then what do you do? Well, you just get out of the community. You'll play golf with the boys. You'll drink coffee. I had three different places I would go in the morning to drink coffee. Now, two of those have kind of disappeared. One business closed down, the other, the old guy's kind of died out. But still, the farm supply had an old church pew in there, a couple of chairs around. That's where all the farmers come out. I'll tell you right now, it's raining, and the farm supplies are all sitting around right now. Now I'm talking jacket and spitting and chewing, and it's just it's a size of me home, but that's where I go every week and hang out. That's where I find out what's going on in the community and where I meet a lot of people and develop those relationships. A man who always been is a man named Dave. And Dave and I got to know each other a little bit by just being coming down there, and then he played a little bit of golf. I don't know a lot, played a little bit. So through that relationship, one day, every year we put together what we call TGA, Tennessee Golf Association, once a year, and make a trip out somewhere, usually go over to the Memphis area, and run a bus, go to the Memphis area, play golf, go out to eat together. It did that for years. So they got it up, second or third year, I was there, and it was going to be up near my home where they're going to play golf with us. I said, hey, yeah, I'm playing, I'll just meet you all up there. No, because you've got to ride the bus. You've got to be here, you've got to ride the bus, but you've got to experience that bus ride and sit down. So, I rode the bus. Dave's wife, I met her, she had serious health issues, serious heart condition she had all the time. She got very sick. Then she went to the hospital with an extended illness with her heart. Her heart was giving out on her. And I visited Dave quite often. He had sometimes weeks at a time to be there, and I'd go up to Memphis and meet Dave. We'd been with his wife, and Dave would go get something to go out and eat. Donna eventually died. They were a very strong, or Donna was a very strong member of the Baptist Church. They would care for her. Frankie Cody didn't have a presence in the hospital. Not there visiting his wife. So he had to bring stops. 400 or 500 people. Ruined quite a nation. But now when Dave introduces me, he says, this is my church. And I've got a church where they've got to come every once in a while. But I'm a church. Because of the presence. Just because of the meeting there. And when I go down to the swords and around every once in a while for a second. Then I come back in the office and be talking about this order. I know what he needs wants to talk. That's enough time for me to fly. And so we have a lot to talk about this morning. I try to preach in truth and preach it in love, not the rest of the bridges behind me and open as many doors as I can. And this is power of presence is being out there. And because of that, then it will mention people to the Lord. And the Lord's doors open and do some things that I think that God wants us to do. And here's the thing about all of that. I really believe this first thing here is just laying a foundation. And I'm anxious to see what the Lord is going to lead me to and what the Lord is going to do next. So he does some amazing things. Who ever thought we talked about last night with that kind of people came to me again? That we need a preaching attitude to come. That we end up preaching sermons for people are members of the church. So it's been quite important that we are an important presence. You know, sometimes I'm thinking about going to see someone and think, well, but I don't know what to say. You don't have to say it. Remember when I went first to go to a preacher, Brother Robert, and I lived pretty hard with it. And I preached for a congregation outside of Dallas while I was a student. We had a lady there and had a little child, and they lost that child. They got the call that the child died very sick all of his life, about 10 years old. And got the call, the child died, and said, "James, would you come over to the house?" I remember running home and cleaned up a bit and thinking, what am I going to say? The very first funeral I ever did was this. Thinking, I get over the house, what will I say? Well, I went to the home, and I don't remember anything I said. And I can tell you that to this day, that mother doesn't remember anything that I said. She only remembers that I was there. And that's what's important, just that we're there. Whether it's there for one another, in a time of death or sickness, or whether we're there drinking the coffee. The guys at the Huddle House, just to be there, to be a presence. We are a presence. This church is a presence in your worship. I can tell you stories about that. Our church on the highway, and I know your church on the highway too. People pass up and down here on Sunday mornings, and they see this college market. That's a presence in this community that reminds people that God is alive and well. And he's there. And if you ever need to pull in, he's there.